chapter 24 in the book of Acts. Chapter 24 in the book of Acts. I want to read a verse, one verse here in your hearing, and then do what I feel like the Lord lead us to do. Stand with us and let's honor the Bible. Chapter 24 in the book of Acts. I'm going to read verse 24 also. It said, "And after certain days, when Felix came with his wife Drusilla, which was a Jewess, he sent for Paul and heard him concerning the faith in Christ. And as he reasoned of righteousness, temperance, and judgment to come, Felix trembled and answered, 'Go thy way, for this time, when I have a convenient season, I will call for thee.'" Our Father, we bow in your divine presence, O Lord, again this morning, thanking you, Father, for every blessing. Thank you again for the privilege that we have to be able to come into your house one more time. We thank you, Lord, for our brothers and sisters that are bowed here. We pray, Lord, your blessings on each home represented, every individual here. Lord, may you bless them today. We ask you, dear God, again, that you'd anoint us afresh with fresh oil. Give us words, Lord, to say. We ask you, Father, to help us this morning, Lord, to be obedient to the calling of God. Lord, I pray now that you'd bless these that are here. And Lord, those that are lost among us, save them, Lord. Those that are away from you, bring them back to you. Lord, we pray, God, that you'd have your way in the service. Go with us now. And what you do for us, we'll be careful to give you the praise and the glory for it all. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And amen. I know that this is a real familiar text that I read to you this morning, but the Lord had put this on our heart, and it's the text where when you hear it read, oftentimes the preacher talks about the convenient season. I know that God blesses us with time to prepare. In this life, this is a preparation period. This is a time where God allows for the human race to prepare for eternity. We're not going to stay here forever. We can't do that because sin had taken its toll in this world and in man's lives. And the Bible tells us because sin entered into the world, death reigned. So we know that it's impossible to be able to stay here forever. I enjoy living here. I do. I'd be the first one to admit it because it's the only place that I know to live. I've never been to heaven. I don't know what it's like to be rid of the evils of the day, but I've learned to live with them. I've learned to dodge them. I've learned by the power of the Holy Spirit to have power to overcome some of them. Yeah. And I know that in my life, that life choices means a lot of how my life's going to be. If I make good choices, I'm going to enjoy the good. If I make bad choices, I'm going to have to endure the bad in life. And so I know that while I'm here, this is the only life I know, and there's some things that I enjoy doing while I'm here. There's some pleasures that I enjoy doing while I'm here. I believe that God meant for us to enjoy some things while we are here. The flesh enjoys, but then I do know that in all the pleasures that they must be limited. Amen. Limited. I've got to be careful, and I've got to watch where I choose my pleasures in the world, that they don't smear my character, nor will they taint my influence. So I have to be careful where I choose my pleasures. But I enjoy things in life. Here, do you? Amen. You go ahead and say amen. You can't sit there and tell me that you don't enjoy living here. It's the only life that I know is right here. I'm anticipating better by the word of God. I'm looking for better over yonder on the other side where I'm promised the no mores in the book of Revelation. No more sicknesses or pains, and no more death and separation or sorrow or sufferings and all of those things that I'm anticipating. But I've never been there, and I've never knew what it was like to enjoy those things, but I hope for them. Amen. We hope for those days when the evils are behind us and the better is in front of us. And so we know this morning that we can't stay here forever, according to the word of God. But there is better than this. Amen. According to the promise that God made us, as the Queen of Sheba came to see the glory of Solomon, she saw the beauty and she saw the strength and the power of Solomon, and how that his servants were blessed to be under his leadership and under his kingship. They were pleased in it. And she said, the half has never yet been told me. That's the way I feel about all of this morning. I feel like that this world is glorious to me. And I enjoy the sights and the scenery in our world and God's creation and the blessings that God has afforded us to enjoy and has given us from time to time. I've enjoyed every bit of that. But I'm looking forward to one day that's better than this day. Amen. And that we can rejoice in the very presence of God. Down here we get some glimpses along the way that pulls us and longs us to be with Jesus forever and forever. And so we want to long to be in that place over yonder. The Bible said, Paul makes mention when he said, to die, to live is Christ, but to die is gain. Isn't it a blessing to enjoy a Christian living? Isn't it a blessing to serve the Lord Jesus while we're here and to come to the house of God and worship God, only to know that we've got to leave here in just a little while, and we go back to our separate places of stay, and then we have to contend with this life again? Won't it be wonderful one day after a while when we'll be truly able to never again return to out yonder, but to dwell in the house of the Lord forever and forever? I want to tell you how we hope in that. My hope is built in nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. Amen. And so now in chapter 24 in the book of Acts, the Apostle Paul is talking to Felix. And Felix's wife is here, and they begin to talk about righteousness and self-control. Temperance means self-control, and the judgment to come. He had gotten out of control and no longer sought after righteousness and give not judgment a second thought. But the Apostle Paul said, Felix, you need to think about these things. And then he gives Felix an invitation to come to Jesus. But the Bible said, Felix, tremble. I've seen many a people in behind, after the message is preached, in behind the pew, grabbing to the pew, and their knuckles are turning white, and they're shaking under the power of God, and they're trembling at the invitation of God. That's the way Felix was. But Felix tells Paul, he says, go thy way for this time. He said, when I have a convenient season, I will call for thee. I want to say a few things now this morning, if God will help me, on some hindrances on that convenient season. The Bible tells us that Felix then calls for another time. A time is a hindrance often for the convenience of the season. I believe that the convenient is now. The convenient time is now. But what ends up happening is we feel like we've got plenty of time. And so we put it off and we let things go. And we let the most necessary thing go. And that's salvation. That's our relationship with Jesus. We let that time slip. Time is very precious. amen, in the book of James. He said, but the rich, he said, in that he is made low, because as the flower of the grass he shall pass away. He said, for the sun is no sooner risen with a burning heat, but it withereth the grass, and the flower thereof falleth, and the grace of the fashion of it perisheth. He said, so also shall the rich man fade away in his ways. Now he's addressing that rich man that does not take the time to be saved. The Bible tells us of a foolish rich man that thought he had plenty of time, and he thought everything would be well with him. Everything that he touched turned into gold. He piled up goods for many years. He tore his barns down, built bigger barns. He thought he had plenty of time. But I'm telling you, time ran out. At midnight, the Lord came to his life, and he spoke to him and said, this night thy food, this night shall thy soul be required of thee. So oftentimes we feel like we will not get ready because we have plenty of time. But time gets away from us. Amen? I remember in the book of Genesis, God promised Noah. He said, there'll always be seasons. There'll always, as long as the earth stands, there'll be seasons. Somebody said one time, said the Bible said that in the last days that you couldn't tell one season from another. That's not so. According to the word of God, we're going to always have seasons. We'll have spring, we'll have summer, fall, and winter, as long until the Lord comes back. Write that down in your Bible so you can say the Bible says. Amen. And so we know that time we're going to have as long as we're here. But what we do with that time will determine where we're going to spend eternity. Sometimes it's a hindrance to us because it gets away from us. But then health is a hindrance to convenience. It really is. Health will get away from you. I remember when I was a young man. Don't you remember when you were young? You remember how healthy you were in your life and in your living? You remember how wonderful it was to feel good and not have any pain, not have any aches and pains, but you felt really good. And your health, you just kept running and running and running. But it's not that way anymore, is it? Health gets away from you. James said this. He said, whereas you know not what shall be on the morrow. He said, for what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. That's the way our health is. I would have never thought when I was in high school that I'd ever have to wear glasses when I got older. I never thought that I'd be in the shape that I'm in. Somebody said one time, I said, if I knew I was going to live this long, I would have taken better care of myself. But I'm going to tell you, health, bad health is inevitable. It doesn't make any difference who you are. Amen. We're constantly going back and forth to the doctor's office to find some kind of quick fix, a pill perhaps. Somebody can come up with some type of an oil, and we'll grab after it or put it all over our bodies and claim it does our body good. The Bible said that bodily exercise profited little. It didn't say it didn't profit, but it doesn't do much. It just profits a little. Amen. I was coming home one day from Birmingham, and I pulled in a place to eat, get me a bite to eat. And I noticed the pictures of a young man that was on the wall, and he was in a football uniform, a basketball uniform, a track uniform, and he was just glorified all over the walls of that restaurant. And I got to looking around, I thought, he must really be somebody. And I asked the owner of the restaurant, I said, who is this young man that you've got all over the restaurant walls? And he said, that was my son. I said, can you tell me his story? He said, yes, sir, I can. Said he loved sports.
said he exercised every day. He lifted weights every day. He was the star football player, the star basketball player, the star track runner. He said he had everything going for him. But one day, he said, one day, he said he was running out on the football field and fell over dead with a heart attack. He said he was 16 or 17 years old. And I thought, Lord, have mercy. What a broken heart must have been in that home when that young man, I said, did y'all go to church? Said, oh, yes. I said, he was a Christian. Said, he is a saved boy. Said, he talked about the Lord all the time. I said, you know, you can be young or old. It doesn't make any difference. But when it's your time to go, you're going to go. We can't possibly know our health situation. God looks on the inside. We look on the outside. He knows us like no one else. Amen. You can gather every doctor around your bedside, but there's sometimes when your health is going to fail. You're just not where you used to be. And there's many a people in hell today that had good intentions after their health is gone to get right with God. But while they have good health, they're running in the world wild and they do not seek the Lord. But then age has something to do with hindering our convenient time. Age is something that if we live long enough, it's going to catch up with us. Every time I go to a nursing home, the number one thing that always brings a smile and joy to those that are in the nursing home is a young baby, a young child. There's just something. I can be talking to them in the nursing home, and when somebody brings a baby in, the preacher becomes invisible. That's what happens. They'll direct themselves right to the child. And I think what they're trying to do is trying to remember in their mind what it was to be young and what a joy it was in their youth to be young. David said, I once was young and now I'm old. It just went by so fast. And sometimes we feel like we'll just wait for a convenient season, but it seems like the season never comes. Never comes. Amen. Felix, the Bible said, when I have a convenient season, he said, I'll come get you. And the Bible said he hoped also that money should be given him of Paul that he might loose him. He said, whereof he sent for him the oftener and commune with him. Every time Felix would sit down and he'd think about, I'm not getting any younger. I'm going to need to do something. I'm going to meet God one day, and rightfully so. Because Paul said, there's the issue of righteousness, there's the issue of self-control, and there's the issue of judgment. You're going to have to deal with those. But then Felix just let his life get by and his health get bad. Why is it always that we wait until we're broken down and oftentimes ain't able to go? Then we turn to the Lord and tell God, use me if you can. Isn't that amazing? We give our best years to the world. We give our best years to the devil. We give our best years to the worldly pleasures. But then we give our worst time to God. We give our worst days to God. We give our worst health to God. We give our last age to God. I was listening to a man say one time, said he was in his fourth quarter of his life and he wants to end well. And I thought about that. And I'm right at the beginning of the fourth quarter. Miss D told me the other day, said, you got 15 minutes. You'll catch that when you get home. Said, you got 15 minutes. I said, boy, I said, I want to finish my last quarter for God. I want to take the last 15 minutes and run the best I can. I can't run as good as I did in the first quarter, but I still want to get in the ball game. Coach, let me in. Ain't that what they say? Yeah. It's the fourth quarter. That's what they used to do to the boys that couldn't play ball quite as well as some of the first stringers. But then the ball game, they've won so much and they're so far above the other team until on the fourth quarter, they'll start throwing in those that couldn't run well, those that wasn't as good as the first stringers, and they'd go to pulling the first out, they go to put the second in. And sometimes the ball game, my son, I've got one son, he's a little bitty fella. He was weighed about 100 pounds and about that tall when he was in the 11th grade or maybe the 10th grade. And my other boy was a little bigger. He weighed 160 pounds. And the coach over at Phil Campbell football one night, we was winning. It was like 70-something to nothing. And the coach said, McClellans, come here. And my youngest boy was a guard. He was a first-string guard. He said, I want you to play guard. And he said, I want you to run the ball. My boy was about that tall. He said, run the ball. He said, run behind your brother. Just run behind your brother. Every play, they started on the 10-yard line, and every play, they handed the ball to my youngest boy, and my oldest boy would block for him. He'd knock people out of the way so his little brother could get a first down and marched all the way down the field, and the little one made a touchdown. He made a touchdown. I'm telling you, the whole Addison crowd erupted, and we was beating them 70-something to nothing, but they made that touchdown, put him in the newspaper. He was in the newspaper. My youngest boy running the ball behind his older brother. I want to tell you, the Lord's given him the ball, and I want to block for him on the fourth quarter. Hallelujah. Woo! Bless his holy name. If I can't do nothing else, I want to be in the front blocking for those that's running the ball so they can make the touchdown. Age. But then, final hindrance to the convenient time is we're going to die. When you're dead, it's over with. There's no more opportunity, no more chance to do any better, no more time to reach back and do what you intended to do. It'll all be gone. It'll be over with. And death, Felix, far as I know, he never found another time or convenient season. He died lost. He died lost. And because he was lost, he was forever separated from God. Never done anything worth anything to keep while he was here. He fades off the pages of the book of Acts right here. He begins to fade away. That's what he is, vapor. But death got him and stopped him cold. And there was never a convenient season ever for Felix to change. Convenience is now. Let's stand this morning.